Second Timothy 3.
Second Timothy chapter 3. The longer I look at these things, excuse me, my voice today, this pollen's rather high. The longer I look at these things and look at, I see things that I've looked at and looked at and looked at and never started hooking them together. They're just starting to fit so much better together, make so much more sense, you know? Yeah, if there's one thing about God, He is common sense. That is God to me. Common sense, that's just who God is. Everything He does is the right way. It's all logical. You know, God is logical. So I'm going to read it first. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with lust, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue you in the things which thou hast heard, hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Man, there's a whole bunch in here. I could probably go back in the first 5 or 6, 7 verses and just stay there all day, but, you know, and I mean, till this evening sometime.
What we're talking about before we started anyway.
Yep. So, in this first one, the first verse, it goes back and says, this know also, that, or the word that should be because, really. Because in the, not last, but the final days, in the final days, perilous times or difficult times shall come. In the last days. I'm not going to go back and say, you know, well, things like 1,000 years, we're getting around that time, 2,000 days, we're getting ready to go into the third day, all that stuff. It's not about that.
That's all external.
It's all external. We're talking about internal things. In my last days, perilous things are going to happen. As you grow and mature through these different realms, and there's a couple of places here that show different realms, or three of them. But there's going to be a lot of difficult things come. Are we going to fold under the pressure of knowing the truth? How many people do you think fold under the pressure of knowing the truth? Most. You say most, you know. It's not about numbers. God's got something He's working on. We've talked about it before. I'm not going to get into all the different realms that God's working in. Just know that everybody's not going to make it right now. They're going to make it. They're all going to be in the kingdom sooner or later. But, you know, right now he's looking for a certain group of people. And I don't care if people keep, well, you're slicing and dicing the right. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you what God said. I'm not the one running the show. So people can say what they want to say. And he goes on in verse 2 and says, because humanity shall be lovers of their own selves. See, if we're not in that, honey, I mean, look around you. That's all people do. It's all about, you might as well just say humanity is narcissistic.
Yeah.
It's just not, they're narcissistic. It's all about me. It's nothing about anybody else. Everything is centered around what I do. It's me, my, or mine. But the lovers of self, they're covetous. That word covetous means fond of silver, money. It's all about money. What is the world about today? It's all about financial, anything. If you can't, it's merchandise everything, you know. And the whole world has learned, we used to think, well, thing prices were going up when we were younger. But people have said, well, this is a critical thing. Well, the people that had gasoline said, well, it's critical, you know. They didn't think about diesel, and they said, well, wait a minute. Diesel fuel is more critical, but it's a waste byproduct of gasoline. They usually couldn't figure out what to do with it. They made it into diesel, and now diesel costs more than the gasoline.
Yeah.
Everybody's figured out auto parts. You know, you can buy a part for a car. When I was a kid, you could buy a new car for $1,000, $1,500, brand new car. Well, that's crazy. I know it is. But now, you can't buy a transmission for $3,000 hardly. You buy an engine, you could have $5,000 to $6,000 in it. Why? Because they said, well, this part is just as valuable as that, because it won't work without my part. And the whole world has picked up on this thing, and that's why everything is like, now food, you know, medicines, everything is, well, without this, that won't work, or you won't survive. You know, everybody's figured out how to merchandise their product and take advantage to the fullest extent, so we pay the price.
Yeah.
And it ain't gonna change, but that's what they are. They're boasters. That word boaster literally means a braggart. Did you ever hear or see so many people today that do that? But see, although that's an outward expression of what's inside of them, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just an outward expression of what's really in people. There's a certain individual that we know, Lois knows him too, and everything he says is a lie. But he's just bragging about, he just wants to be part of the group. Rather than being part of the group, he just tells lies all the time. And there's even people say, why do you do that for? You're lying. No, I'm not lying. And he knows he's lying. And he's lying right there when he says he's not lying. He knows it, and he just keeps on doing it. Try to talk to him, he won't change. I said, well, okay. You don't want to change? Just continue on. It's not my place to judge anybody, but it's wrong. Next one, of course, we know what pride is, don't we? They're proud, they're prideful. And that's not an external condition, that's just the result of what's going on inside of them.
They're arrogant.
Yep. They're just prideful people, they're arrogant. They're blasphemers. That means they speak bad about God, okay? And there's a lot of people who speak bad about God. But you know why they speak bad about God?
Because they don't know.
No, because they're judging it by what the church world has shown them. See, they're judging God by the religious people on this earth.
They haven't tested it themselves.
They don't know who God is, and the religious people they're looking at has never showed them God because they don't know God. That doesn't mean God is not resident in them, because he is. But he's working for the few right now. That one lost sheep, that 1%. So he's looking for that right now. Disobedient to parents. Have you ever in your life dreamed it would get to where it is today? Huh? Well, see, mankind thought they had a better way. And they took it away from what God has told us to do to discipline our children. And I think they should have their tails lit up when they need something. That's why you put that big thick padding on the back end, so you can not hurt it when you tan it up a little bit, you know. They'll be all right. Unthankful. See, when you're narcissistic, why would you be thankful for anything? It's all, you're supposed to be giving it to me.
Oh, mine.
Hey, I deserve it, right? And that's what they think. But that's the nature of humanity. That's the beast that's in people. They want to be in control. Just like Adam said, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to sit on the sides of the north.
Feel privileged.
Oh, they think they are the ones that...
They're entitled.
They're entitled, absolutely. They just feel like that. He said they're unholy. You got that right. They are.
What's the scripture, man is but a brute beast?
Made to be taken and destroyed.
Right there.
Yeah. It says, without natural affection.
Yeah.
What do you think that means?
Unloving.
Huh? Hard-hearted is what the language says. They're hard-hearted. And today, you see kids killing their parents, killing their brothers and sisters. You know, families just mutilating each other over some stupid thing. Dad took my video game, so I think I'll just go get a gun and kill everybody in the family. Now, where does that make sense in any world? See, it's that narcissistic world. They did something to me, they had no right to deal with me because I am the I am, see? They want to be the God of the world. Jeez. It's sick, but that's where it's at. Incontinent. Now, we're not talking about being able to hold your water, okay? We're not talking about that.
Did you skip some
truce
breakers?
Yes, it did. Truce breakers, well, they never had one yet. You know, you can't count on somebody breaks it, can you? The incontinent literally means they're without self-control. Okay? And now you may understand where we say incontinent, they can't control their bladder controls. But this is basically saying the same thing. They have no self-control in anything. Whatever they think, they just do it. If they see it and want it, they take it. You know, just...
Yeah, try to use that as an excuse. Well, that's why I did it, because I can't control myself.
Yeah. But yeah, they just have what the real problem here is a lack of discipline. Discipline is a very important thing in life. They're fierce. Everybody wants to kill somebody. When I was a kid, if we had disagreements, and we had plenty, all kids do. You know, we might go behind a building after school and have a fight, or go down in town, get behind the drugstore somewhere and have a fight. You know, and everybody in the school would be down there just to watch the fight, you know. But when it was over with, probably ended up pretty good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it ended that way a lot of times. Now kids want to kill everybody. What in the world does that benefit? Hey?
Worst thing I think we did was throw rocks.
Huh?
We used to throw rocks.
Well, yeah, we threw rocks and did things, but still it wasn't killing people.
Nope.
Now the answer is kill somebody.
Yeah. With the boy, and
turned out to be good friends.
By the end of the day, we're buddies, man.
Well, yeah. You got to know each other up close and personal.
Yeah.
Despisers of those that are good. If you do something right, they'll mock you, they'll scorn you, and try to make you be just like them. There's a passage that says that that if you don't run the neck riot nexus with them, they think you're something wrong with you.
And then they turn around and say evil communication is corrupted in
man. Yep, and it will if you let it. He said they're traitors, or they're betrayers. They'll betray you. They're heady. The word heady literally in the Greek means reckless. They were reckless. And I have to agree that we're not talking about driving vehicles, you know. They're reckless in their lifestyles. They make decisions that could harm themselves and other people and don't even think about the consequences. Just like you said earlier, they won't own what they do. They have taken no ownership of anything that they do. It's just about what I wanted to do at the time. High-minded, what do you think that means?
That's
haughty. How about conceited?
Same thing.
It's very close to what you said there. But they're conceited. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. My God, the whole world today is there. And that narcissistic one, there's nothing but him. He is the God, see? That's what they want to be. And then verse 5. Having a form of godliness. No, possessing. a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from these turn away.
Run away.
Okay, run. Yeah, at the fastest speed you can.
Run, Forrest, run.
But having a form of godliness, and isn't that what the churches do? They're choreographed when you come in. You know exactly what they're going to do. I had this one guy said, you've got to go to this church. It's really nice. This pastor down in Kentucky said, it's way up in northern Ohio. This young guy came. He said, it's really awesome. It's a Church of Christ, you know. And they had, he said, the only problem is that they have it choreographed because they're on TV. You got 2.7 seconds to do this. You got 2 minutes and 35 seconds to do that. You got 15.1 minutes to do this. And the whole thing was choreographed. And I said, "And I didn't see God in any part of them choreographed sessions you had. Where's God at in that?" He said, well, you know what I mean. I said, no, I don't know what you mean. If you believe that's God, then you don't know the God that I'm talking about. You got some other God. I said, because God, it said, there's no pattern in this New Testament. In the Old Testament, they had patterns to follow. In religion, they had it under the law. You had to do this, you had to do this, you had to do this. Certain ways for everything. Do other things, you know. But in the New Testament, there is not one form anywhere that tells you how to worship God. Do you know why? God is seeking those to worship Him in spirit. So the Spirit of God that's in you should know how to hook up with the Spirit of God in God, the Spirit.
No formula for that.
There's no formula for that because each and every one of us are different. See, and that's what religion has done. That's what the world has done. They've tried to get everybody in line. You're like walking in a row. You got to look just like the one ahead of you. If the one ahead of you stops, you're going to break your nose because you're going to run right into them. Yeah. That's not the way it is. You're supposed to worship God the way you worship God. There's no set pattern in here. It should be by the Spirit that He's given you. That's how you worship God. No one can tell you that. No one can tell you that you're saved. You know how you know you're saved? When you know your Father loves you. I'm not talking about just saying words. I'm saying when you know. Not somebody telling you anything, not telling you to come up here and slobber and snot all over a board in front of a church somewhere. That's not being saved. You were saved by His blood that was shed on the cross. And the book actually says it was done before the foundation of the world. In spirit it was done before He ever came to this earth. It was a done deal. And we have to understand these things in ourselves. John 8:31-32 said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciplined ones indeed, and you shall know the truth. And that truth that you know will make you free. Because God loves me, I know that. You know, the little kids sing that song, Jesus loved me, yes I know, because the Bible tells me so. See, that's not reality. It's cute, but it ain't truth. It's man-made cuteness, but it's not the reality. I know my Father loves me. End of story. What can you do to take that away from somebody? Absolutely. Take my life. You can't take the love of God away from me.
That's the peace.
There's the peace that surpasses all understanding that the church world talks about, but they don't have it. I've said it here before. A lot of times I've said it. When Lois and I got married, I was in lust. But when God loved me, then I had the capacity to love my wife unconditionally, no matter what. But I didn't have it till I knew God loved me, because I didn't know what love was. All I knew was, if you treat me good, I'll treat you good. If you don't, I'll punch you in the nose. That's the way the world works. That's the way the beast nature is in humanity. But to love somebody unconditionally, no matter what, that only comes from the love of God. And until you experience that love of God, that's not emotions, that's knowing the truth, that God loves me because I am His Son. End of story. There's no conditions, there's no strings. Just, it is. And when you know that, not just say words, but you know that, you're free. And you have the capacity. Why do you think he told Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" A few minutes later, "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "Peter, do you love me?" There was three realms right there. Three experiences until he found out God truly did love him. Feed my sheep. He said, first feed my lamb. Now I'll feed my sheep. If you love me, you'll do what you're supposed to do. And if you love God in the way we're supposed to love God, not by somebody's form of godliness, but by what is in your heart, in your spirit, hey, now you're free. And nobody can take it away. They can talk, slander, do all the things they want to do, and I'll just smile at them. Because I feel sorry for them. They're bound up, they're in prison, and they're not getting out until they break those traditions, they break those idols. They got to do that.
A lot of them are lashing out. It's just that they're lashing out. And what's going on in them, they're not nowhere, they don't have peace.
No.
They're constipated.
There you go. They're incontinent, they're constipated. Button's on the tape, and I can't help it. This pollen's unreal.
It is what it is.
Where did I leave off? Six? Yeah. Because of this sort are they which creep into houses. Do you really talk about they think of somebody crawling into the doors or windows? He creeping into your house. Know you not you're the tabernacle of the living God? See, these people creep into your acceptance circle around you, and you let them begin to minister to you in the wrong ways. And lead captive silly or foolish women laden with sins, led away with various lusts. Okay, but what's the woman he's talking about?
Your soul.
See? Your female side, your soul. Because your emotions is the one that the church is going after. Remember when in Proverbs it said that, what does the woman's name? Said she, Jezebel, she come after to get the precious soul. The harlot seeks the precious soul in Proverbs. Well, those are the things we have to realize. It's not about emotions. And Lois will tell you, I am not an emotional person. I have emotions, but I'm not emotional. Do you know the difference?
They don't control you.
They don't control me. Yeah. You know, people crying doesn't control me. Yeah. You know, I know that's an emotion. And that's not necessarily the truth. The truth of the matter is in facts. So when someone's crying, what's the issue? See, I can go to the issue to help somebody. See, somebody comes, got a problem. I don't need to hear all the emotions. Let's get to the facts. Where's the facts at? See, that's how you get them solved. That's how you get things moved out of your way. That's how you move the mountains, he talks about. Forget about the emotions. Forget about what you want or what you don't want. Find the facts, and it'll cut them emotions away. You still feel things. I mean, you can still cry. You can love. You can do all these things. You know, you can hurt and feel, and all these emotions will go with it, but that's not what it's about. Those are deceptive. What you got to have is facts. Facts will never deceive you, especially when you're on this side of it. Verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sounds good, don't it? Does that sound complete to you?
No.
What's missing?
You never get to the end.
Well, look, there's a word there, knowledge.
Yeah.
And they chopped off a whole bunch of words that go with it. In the language, it says that they come and never able to come to not just knowledge, because they have knowledge, but it's not the precise and correct knowledge. Okay? They cut them other words out because it has to be a precise and correct knowledge. Would you say God's word's precise and correct? That his knowledge is precise and correct. It's the word epigenosis, kenosis. And it's, if I can read, yeah, 1922 in the Strong's. It means a precise, correct knowledge. If I have an incomplete knowledge of something, what good is it? It don't help me because I don't have all the information.
Experience.
Yeah, but you got to have all the knowledge, see? You can't just have a piece of it. That's where people, that's why there's 25,000 denominations recognized in the world today. Actually, probably more than that now. It's been years ago when that was written. But the reason for it is they get one truth and they run off. They're satisfied with a piece of the truth. I think I shared before about a teacher that said something when I was a kid in grade school. Don't remember the teacher's name. It's not important, but I caught the point of what she said. And I was just a kid, and it stuck with me all my life, that about these different birds building their birdhouses. And she was trying to share something about God, but I saw a truth in what she said, even as a kid. And I didn't even know anything about God at the time. But she said, these birds all come to listen to God, and he told them how to build their bird nest. And I see now what she was saying about, she must have been a very wise woman at that point, you know. But she said, God said, look, you start out with sticks and rocks and mud and all this big, big stuff, you know. And the vultures and the eagles only took that stuff. And then they went into the grass and the fur and all these feathers and other things he picked up, went into another group of birds. And she said, by the time he got through telling all the material they needed, there was only one bird left. One out of all of them. Imagine that. One. Hummingbird. And the hummingbird took it all together. And guess what? They built the only perfect nest in the world. It can withstand a hurricane. How's that? The rest of them can't. Only the hummingbird. See, because it stayed there and listened and got the full picture. And she was trying to tell us about learning the whole thing, not just one part. And that woman, well, whoever she was, she had no idea, but she did something in my life. I never forget it. And I can see it and use it in all aspects of my life today. Get the whole picture before you go running off.
The quality is fortune.
Look for quality. Not getting enough speed, it's quality. Okay? He said, verse 8, he goes on and says, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, or they rebelled against Moses, okay? They vexed him, and they rebelled against him. And they rebelled against Moses. So do these also resist or rebel the truth, you know, men of corrupt minds, reprobate or worthless. What does all this knowledge that our children are picking up in these generations today, what is it worth? What's it worth? Hey, technology is great if it's used proper. It's got to be used proper.
Right, it's
got to
be used.
Yeah. What do you think about these young people, young adults that sit and play video games all day long, all night long? They just sit and play games until their mind melts down. They have breakdowns because they crawl inside that box in their mind. I mean, there's people that actually do it 24 hours a day almost, never sleep for days at a time. How could their mind ever function right again? There's nothing wrong with video games. Nothing wrong with anything in moderation, is there? Nothing wrong with any of it. But they're reprobate concerning the word that says, what's in your Bible say? That last word. Faith is not the correct word. It's truth of God. See? See, they're worthless, you know, they're worthless concerning the truth of God. See, all these things we learn, these skills we learn in life, are for this life. To learn how to hunt and to fish and to farm, to raise your own crops, how to build your houses, how to do all these wonderful things, all these computers and phones and all this stuff to help us get through our life. Those are wonderful things, but they have nothing concerning the Word of God, do they?
They can't sustain you.
No. All of those things cannot take you to the kingdom of God. So we've got to get to the facts of life to get to God. It's not some game that they play. And I mean, God bless their hearts. They're messed up, you know, the way these churches are full of people that think they've been brainwashed into believing that what they're doing is pleasing God. And he's not into all this stuff. all these traditions of men, traditions of the churches. He's not into them. Didn't he say that the traditions of men make the word of God worthless? See? It's worthless. But I feel for the people because they're being deceived. But they're being deceived not only because of the preachers. Don't blame it all on them. Because again, you have to own it yourself. Yeah, you're walking into the slaughterhouse, sticking your head in them rocks where they can chop your head off. You're doing it to yourself. The only way you can come out is you've got to own it yourself. Just like we talked before this meeting, all these people, they won't own themselves today, the responsibility of life. See, God gave it to us. What are you going to do with it? Are we going to just waste it away, or are we going to actually come to maturity in ourselves? That's all God's looking for. Someone, do you remember in the Old Testament he had the priests go out, they called it the wave offering, and or the first fruit offering, and they go out and the priest himself, who was symbolic of God, would choose one stalk here, maybe two there, one or two over there, maybe three over here, and bind them together with another stalk and lift them up and wave them, which was a type of crucifixion. Okay? So what he was saying was, I'm out here looking for the ones that are already come to maturity. The ones that are willing to put everything else aside and come to maturity. It's all God wants. What do you desire for your sons and daughter? More than anything else in life, I would desire for my children to be a healthy, productive member of society in the natural. Of course, I want them to come to maturity spiritually too. But in this life, I say, I want that. And we're no different than God, are we? Not a bit different. He wants us to come to maturity. That's it. Verse 9, but they shall proceed, or in literally the word is grow. They will grow no further because their folly or their stupidity. And see, King James don't like to put that word stupid or stupidity in there. But if it fits, if the shoe fits, you wear it, don't you?
Yes.
He said, the stupidity shall be apparent, not manifest, but apparent to all, as those also was. Janus and Jambres. As stupid as they were, the rest of the world is going to be exposed to eventually. But you have fully known, and that word fully known is not really correct. It should say, you have followed my instruction, is what it should say. You have followed my instruction, my manner of life, purpose, my truths of God, for the word faith, again, is that truth of God, long-suffering, charity, which is love, and patience, which is not really patience, but it kind of means that way. It's called cheerful endurance. Well, you got to have a little patience to cheerfully endure some of the crap we got to go through, right? He goes on in verse 11, said, persecutions, afflictions which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. There's that three again. There's three different levels of persecutions he went through. Okay. And I don't think I'm going to break them down right now. I'm going on. The things I endured, but out of all, the Lord delivered me. Who did it? Okay, which God was it? The one up in the sky or the one resident in you? It's obvious, isn't it?
God is one, but He's in you.
Yeah, He's in us. See, it makes no difference that people don't understand that in the world, that God can be in all of us but yet be one. But they don't understand spiritual things because it's not bound by boundaries like physical things are. Spirit is unbound. Verse 12, he goes on and says, and also all that desire, the word will is, all that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall live on the beach and drink pina coladas and...
No.
Huh? Doesn't say that?
Suffer persecution.
shall suffer persecution. If you don't live this way, you're going to be persecuted. Don't be deceived in thinking you come to church and become one of those religious Christians that they talk about, and everybody's going to treat you lovey-dovey. Because I'm going to tell you that it's not going to happen. Because you can go to any church out here today, and you get in the back room somewhere, and you'll hear them talking, that chainsaw tongue of theirs, cutting somebody's head off over here, cutting down somebody here, tearing the preacher down, whatever, you know.
Talk about
you
behind your back.
Sure. Come up and give you a hug and say, love you, brother. And then say, you know, I can't stand the way that, you know, just, it happens everywhere. Why can't you just be who they be? Well, I guess they are. Because they don't know anything about God. Yeah. Verse 13. Here's what he's talking about, the ones in that religious stuff. But evil men or evil humanity and deceivers or imposters shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's the rest of them. If they're not going to do it right, you might as well not do it at all. If I wasn't going to live for God, you know what? I'd be the biggest thief, cheat, liar there was in the world. Because you have no benefit for anything here beyond this life, do you? But you know what? There is something beyond this life. So if I'm not hoping for anything else, I'd be the biggest liar, thief, and cheat there was. But I know there's something better than that. If there was nothing else, I'd be getting all I could get for this world. If that's all I believed there was, then I would be doing that. But I know it's not true, so I'm not even going to think about it. It's not even in my mind to even do anything like that. Verse 14. But continue thou, it should be, but you continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. I had a man one time tell me, he said, now what you got to do is you got to recognize your preacher. This is what he told me. He said, you got to recognize that preacher's the one teaching you everything you know. And I said, well, you know what? I'm with my preacher about, an hour and a half, 2 hours a week, maybe, 2 hours a week. And I'm with God at 24-7. I don't think he's the one teaching me. I think the 24-7's got me covered. I said, because I learn 1,000 times more by myself with God than I do with a preacher preaching at me. Because all they're doing is preaching condemnation and guilt. This isn't preaching what I'm doing. We're discussing the scriptures. We're fellowshipping. No one's telling you got to do anything, do they? You do what's right in your heart. In verse 15, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Now that's not right. You know that word isn't right. How can anything make you wise to salvation? The only thing that made you, gave you salvation was the death of the Lamb on the cross. Am I telling you the truth? Huh? I'm telling you, if it wasn't for him on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, we couldn't get anything, could we? And he's trying to tell you that the scriptures will do this to you. I'm here to tell you, these scriptures can't save you. These scriptures are telling you what's already done. Isn't that right? They're not going to save you. That word should be deliver you. It can deliver you from the way you're thinking into a new way of thinking, which is the way of Christ. But these scriptures can't save you. Everything I've ever learned from God was that he sent his son to save the world. He didn't say he sent him down here and let him go and stuff so people would write a book so the book would save you. The book didn't suffer anything for me. It didn't pay the price for anything for me. But Christ did.
Couldn't save you if you go just buy the book because it's mistranslated.
Well, there's so many translations. If you look at my pages, every page is covered up with mistranslations where I find them. How do I know? I looked them myself. I didn't take somebody's word for it. I know that God loves us and what he did took care of me. Not these words on these pages, especially not these translations. Let me see here. Oh, okay. I'll get a minute. Through faith, and what is faith?
The truth.
The same word says the truth of God unto salvation through the truth of God which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that just what it said? It's the truth of God through Christ Jesus. That's the only thing that saves you. You see, people worship this book. I don't worship this book. This book is a tool to me. It helped me understand what God already did for me. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah.
And the knowledge of God, the precise, correct knowledge of God, will bring me to a place of understanding God and a place of peace and to the deliverance of God from my way of thinking. Now look at verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now let me correct something here. All Scripture that God inspired is not what's in this book. There are so many hundreds of thousands of mistranslations in this book. This is a translation from a translation from a translation from a translation, and God knows how many times it was translated. Only God would know that. Nobody on earth knows that. But in that, there have been so many inconsistencies, so many mistranslations, so many deletions, things they left out, so many things added in because they felt like there would be better clarity. But all they're doing is taking and watering down the truth. I want it straight up. I want to know the truth. Even if it hurts, that's okay. I want to know the truth. Because the other stuff won't do any good. I want the truth. So, all Scripture. What is all Scripture? It's what God said, what God breathed, you know, His Scripture, but not what somebody thinks about what God said. Yeah. And He said He wrote it in the heart before the foundation of the world. That's why I'm saying you got to get it from within. It's not from me talking to you. What I should give you by me talking is it should give you a witness of what's already inside of you. So I can't teach you anything. I'm helping you to remember the things that He wrote in your heart before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
That's it. It says, all Scripture given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, why is it there? The next verse. That the man of God, and cross out that word may, that ain't supposed to be there, that the man of God be perfect. Literally, it should say complete. That the man of God should be complete, thoroughly furnished or fully equipped to all good works. That goes wrong with Romans 8, 38, what does it say? 8:30. If He equips you, if He calls you, He'll equip you. If He equips you, He'll glorify you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
See? So he's that's what the thing is. It's not about us. It's about what God did.
Say that.
Okay.
Moreover, whom He did
predestined,
them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified.
Absolutely. See? Can't lose. Can't lose.